Blog Talk Radio.
Back again. Another day, another 5 cents. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Today's date, October 26, 2011 AD. Beautiful Alexandria, Virginia, right across the Potomac from Washington, D.C., looking out of my window at the Watergate Hotel. You know, I'm not surprised to hear that sales of Ayn Rand's book are reportedly rising, a book that was written in 1957. In fact, I've spotted quite a few Who is John Galt bumper stickers cropping up. And of course, there was this sign at the anti-porculus protest in Denver, and also in Washington, D.C. Atlas, Will Shrug. Mm-hmm. Here's the Atlas Society page I'm looking at right now. The Atlas Shrug movie, the second installment, is ready to be filmed. In the meantime, we are part of a real-life version of Atlas Shrug, of the novel. Nationwide strikes on Friday, all over the country. We're living in a real-life version of Atlas Shrug, where the looters are seeking to take from the wealthy, the producers, the people who make this country work financially, the folks who employ, those who build, those who produce for this world. Well, the looters out there are seeking to have their way, to take. I talked to a lady today at the car wash place. I was at the car wash, and the lady was talking about how her daughter is a teacher, and how her daughter was pre-diabetic and had a few other illnesses, and she couldn't afford the health care bills, because the health care bill, the health care that was being provided to her, didn't cover everything. And so she had to come out of pocket to pay for some of the cost. And how the lady, the mother, whom I was speaking with, didn't think that was fair. She believed that national health care system, where nobody pays, is the best way to go. I asked the lady, I said, do you think that the government runs anything well other than the United States military? She said, well, there's got to be a better system, there's got to be a better way. I said, yeah, it's to let the private sector work things out. I told the lady, you don't want the government getting involved in your health care. I said, look at the track record. Amtrak, the train, run by the government. For the last 15 years, it has functioned in the red, has not made a profit. Let's take a look at the post office, currently on the verge of bankruptcy, run by the government. And let's talk about health care for a moment. Think about this. The government runs the VA hospitals. I am a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, as you all know. I would not set one toe in a VA hospital unless that toe was hanging off and I just happened to be standing in front of the VA hospital at the time. The places are cesspools of filth. And the folks who run that hospital, the workers that work in that hospital, are just as rude as anyone you might find on any day of the week at your local post office, and just as slow. Every single time I have approached the VA hospital, they're wheeling two or three people out the back way. Now, yeah, I guess you can say that happens in almost any hospital, right? I tell you, the government does not do this job very well. But the lady insisted. And then she went further by saying that she paid her taxes to bail out the banks. And that she doesn't think it's right that people like her should bail out the banks. Tesla's in the house, 2020, good to see you. They didn't think it was appropriate for her to have to bail out the banks. And I said, I asked her, I said, do you pay taxes? She said, of course I pay taxes. I said, okay, do you expect to get a refund at the end of the year? Do you actually receive a refund at the end of the year? Of course, she said, yes. I said, well, then you don't pay taxes. You don't. I pay taxes. At the end of the year, for my business ventures, I usually, no, always write a check to the government to pay taxes. So, look, old lady, I'm the one who's bailing out the banks. You're not doing anything. I pretty much said that to her. You're not bailing out anybody. You don't pay taxes. What you do is you provide the government with a loan. And at the end of the year, the government gives you back that loan, and sometimes with a little extra. Well, she hemmed and hawed a little bit and said, well, you know, I don't always get it all back. Well, look, lady, the point of the matter is you don't pay taxes. I do. You haven't bailed out anybody. You shouldn't be complaining about anybody being bailed out because you're not paying any taxes. None of your money is going to these folks. You get your money back at the end of the year. Remember, if you get a refund at the end of the year of all of the money that the government borrowed from you during the course of the year, then you don't pay taxes. And then, of course, she changed the subject and she said that, well, you know, George Bush. And I said, look, lady, listen, ma'am. She said, George Bush got us into a war and got us into debt. I'm paraphrasing her. And I said, ma'am, President Barack Hussein Obama has spent more than all other previous presidents combined in just the 3 years he's been in office. She found that to be skeptical. She was skeptical about that. She thought my claim was dubious. I said, ma'am, I am not giving you my opinion here. These are facts. You can look them up anywhere. You don't have to take my word for it. Well, then she changed the tact to, well, you have to spend money sometimes to make money. And I thought, oh my goodness. All right. So I'm sure you have come across people like this in your everyday dealings, whom no matter what amount of logic, no matter how much logic you give them, no matter how much information you provide, they're not going to hear you. They don't want to hear you. I had an audience by this point, and most of the folks agreed with me, which I was very pleased about. The thing is, these people believe. They believe that they're the ones who are paying taxes, that their money is going to bail out the big banks. And we've got to spread the word that these folks don't actually pay taxes, and they haven't bailed out anybody. So this righteous indignation about money that's coming out of their pockets to bail out the banks is a bunch of crap. We have entered a new phase of this endless, what seems to be an endless Occupy Wall Street sleepover. Now, after a month of provoking the police and generating mounds of trash, begging for free Wi-Fi, porta potties, and food, teaching each other Saul Alinsky hand signals, railing against Jews while holding up Nazi banker signs, grappling with perverts, rapists, and thieves in their ranks, and hobnobbing with 1%ers, celebrities donning 99%er costumes, the occupiers are rallying around a new mascot, folks. You may have heard of this, Robin Hood. They are they're rallying around Robin Hood now. From the Canadian magazine Adbusters, the magazine that helped launch the protest, comes a call for an October 29 Robin Hood Soak the Rich tax parade. Yeah, you heard it here second or third. All right, you redeemers, rebels, and radicals out there, we're living through a magical moment. So the article goes. Occupy Wall Street has catalyzed into an international insurgency for democracy. The mood of our assemblies is electric. People who go there are drawn into a Ghanaian spirit. Ghanaian? Gandhian? I don't know which one it is. Spirit of camaraderie and hope for a new kind of future. Across the globe, the 99% are marching. You have inspired more than you know. People are digging into Act One and Long Spring, whatever the hell that is. It's now time to amp up the edgy theatrics. Deviant pranks, subversive performances, and playful demagoguery of all kinds. Open your incendiary imagination. Anything from the bottom-up transformation of the global economy to changing the way we eat, the way we get around, the way we live, love, and communicate. Be the spark that sustains a global revolution of everyone, of everyday life. Hell no. This is what this article reads. I'm reading from this crappy article and it sounds bizarre. Doesn't it sound like I'm reading it all wrong? Doesn't it sound like I'm the one who's a loon? But I'm reading lunatic stuff here. So they're gathering around Robin Hood. But as everyone knows, Robin Hood's claim to fame was not that he took from the rich to give to the poor, but that he took from the tax collector to give back to the people their own money. That's what Robin Hood was all about. He didn't rob from the rich to give to the poor. The tax collector was overtaxing the people, and Robin Hood was fed up with it. The tax collector took land, he beat people down, he took all their loot, and Robin Hood was fed up with it. So if we're going to have a Robin Hood revolution, then shouldn't these morons be heading to Washington to protest the IRS? The central issue was overtaxation. And Robin Hood was most emphatically not on the side of the bureaucracy. The ultimate bad guy was Prince John, the very caricature of greed, arrogant government. The proximate bad guy was the Sheriff of Nottingham, the ruthless enforcer. Sound like anybody? Eric Holder, maybe? The ruthless enforcer whose audit strategy was even more intimidating than that of the IRS. Now, the victims were the taxpayers, whose property was confiscated to feed John's insatiable lust for higher revenues. As Robin Hood speeds to its exciting conclusion, that funny-looking dude, Friar Tuck, adopts his battle cry. Praise the Lord and pass the tax rebate. Here we go. Robin Hood was waging a struggle not only against overtaxation, but against illegitimate, unconstitutional government. That's what that was all about. So when these 99 percenters, when Occupy Wall Street goes out and says they're going to have a Robin Hood moment, they should be headed to Washington. Give Washington a little grief. Not banks, not businesses, Washington, D.C., President Barack Hussein Obama. Now, it is true that a lot of these clowns have no love for Obama at all, but mostly because they don't think he did enough. They think that he sold them out. That he was supposed to do more. Who is John Galt? I'm John Galt. So are you. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
This is my very serious commentary. Ever since I announced I would be appearing here on Glenn Beck's network, I've been repeatedly asked the question, Glenn Beck! In response, let me just say, honey, calm down and let me explain. It's not what you think. Stop crying. I know that I'm risking my reputation for intelligent probity and probing intelligence and just general probing by associating myself with a complete wackadoodle like Beck. After all, Beck has repeatedly condemned the current president of the United States for stocking his administration with so-called czars, whose openly radical philosophies are in complete opposition to the nation's founding principles and who nonetheless operate wholly free of congressional oversight. And all right, that's true. But Beck has also made a thorough spectacle of himself, parading around, defending Israel, as if Israel were a bastion of freedom for Jews and Arabs alike in a Middle Eastern desert of oppression, ignorance, and murderous violence. Which, of course, is also true. But Beck is also constantly rabbiting on about how abandoning our belief in God undercuts the guarantee of those rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that our Declaration says were granted us by our Creator. So I guess, by definition, that would be true as well. But you're missing the point. Yes, a lot of what Beck says is true. The problem is the way he says it. Out loud, where everyone can hear. Also, he gets all emotional about it, as if it mattered, which is ridiculous. If the truth mattered, it would be in the New York Times, at least occasionally. Also, Beck is always writing things on blackboards and drawing arrows connecting them, which frankly is just embarrassing. Miss Rose used to do that in our high school health class. She put her lipstick on funny, too. Although I don't think Beck does that. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I know I could damage my reputation by associating myself with a crazy man who goes around telling the truth out loud as if it mattered. And heaven knows, I could have taken the easy path and associated with well-spoken, respectable, highly placed individuals like New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, who believes our government needs to spend trillions more dollars in order to get out of debt, or former Vice President Al Gore, who thinks the earth is going to explode if people don't stop acting in the recklessly polluting, energy-devouring manner largely exemplified by himself. These are fine, upstanding men who've won Nobel Prizes and wear neckties and have serious-looking faces. If I worked with them, I too could become a respected member of the elite commentariat. But I decided not to take that easier path, not only because Krugman and Gore didn't offer me a job, but also because I felt that the public should not be exposed to GBTV unless it included someone who, like those great men, is generally respected by the mainstream media and talks absolute nonsense. That's what I'm here for. I'm Andrew Klavan, and this has been my very serious commentary.
GBTV, the truth lives here.
Indeed it does, and we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I tell you what, if you don't get GBTV, Glenn Beck TV, you can find it and check it out. I am a subscriber to Glenn Beck TV, not just because I work for GBTV on occasion, but because it is really cool and very informative. And if you want to be cool and be informed, you want to be a part of GBTV. I'm telling you, that's a pretty damn good advertisement. I dig it. Wow. And he didn't have to pay for that one either. That's pretty good. I want to get to something that's really starting to bug me right now. It's really scary. Remember when the Constitution applied and if a president wanted to implement a new program, he'd have to persuade Congress to pass a law and appropriate money. Remember that? Does anybody remember those good old days? President Obama, facing a GOP House, has chosen to use executive orders and is getting away with it. And he's openly proclaiming his intent to do more of it. Is this tyranny? Have we gone from a democracy, a republic, to an imperial presidency? Think of the implications. If the president is allowed to bypass Congress and enact legislation by decree, like a king, think about, in the name of the people, by the way, think of the other implications. Perhaps he might decide that elections are inconvenient at this time, and he's going to sign an executive order postponing elections for 2012. Postponing Senate elections if he believes that he may lose the Senate. Or perhaps enacting legislation nationalizing businesses and banks. The stroke of a pen. At that time, we're no longer a republic. We are a monarchy, and we're being ruled by a would-be king or dictator. Think about it. Now, there are those who say that, well, I think that President Obama, those who have said that I think that President Obama should act in a dictatorial way in order to get things done, because we have a dysfunctional Congress who will not act. But in fact, the way the Founding Fathers set up our system was for it to be just this way, that the president would not be a king, that there would not be imperial rule in this country, but there would be three separate but equal branches of government. Well, in this case, the president of the United States has nullified the three equal but separate branches of government. By nullifying Congress and making it an afterthought, he has taken control of the country and power for himself. He has thus become a dictator. By openly expressing that he will go around Congress wherever he can and enact legislation and give orders with a simple stroke of a pen. Can we say impeachment? Can we say perhaps even civil unrest and civil war when the people finally realize that we're no longer a republic, but we are living in a dictatorship? The war for independence was all about, in my mind, what we're seeing happening right now, where the president decides that for the good of the people and for himself, that Congress doesn't matter. No one else matters. His word should be law. I am the president of the United States. It's my responsibility. We're in a crisis situation. I am going to act without Congress's approval wherever I can. Now, the president told an audience in Nevada on Monday that he will regularly announce executive actions that his administration will take to, quote, heal the economy, end quote, without the dysfunctional Congress. Now, let me ask you something. Even those of you who are Obama supporters, even those of you who are drinking the Kool-Aid, let me ask you, does that scare you at all when the president decides that he is going to act arbitrarily without the speed bump, without the brakes of the United States Congress, simply nullifying one branch of the three branches of government? I'll give you a quote. Quote, I'm here to say to all of you and to say to the people of Nevada and the people of Las Vegas, we can't wait for an increasingly dysfunctional Congress to do its job. Where they won't act, I will, Obama said, end quote. Well, end quote, Obama said. Quote again, I've told my administration to keep looking every single day for actions we can take without Congress, steps that we can save consumers' money, make government more efficient and responsive, and help heal the economy. And we're going to be announcing these executive actions on a regular basis, the president said. Obama then explained the home mortgage refinancing plan that his administration announced Monday. Folks, what we're seeing here at this time is a dictatorship in this country. And I don't say that lightly. I've been thinking about it all day, whether or not I should come out and say such a thing. We're seeing a president of the United States nullifying one branch of the three supposedly equal branches of government. At the very worst, there'll be constitutional challenges to the president's orders. Even that, I mean, at the very least, at the very worst, many Americans will see this as the president ruling by decree. You think that people are taken to the streets now in New York, in Oakland, in D.C., in Chicago? Imagine how many people are going to take to the streets. They're going to take it to the streets. Once word gets around that the president has decided that he is going to rule, bypass Congress and rule, think about it. I mean, am I going too far? Have I gotten out of line? I read to you Obama's quotes to keep looking for ways to go around Congress, to get around Congress, to act for the people. How many times have we heard this throughout history? How many times have we read it? We read it with Hugo Chavez. He was acting for the people. Fidel Castro, acting for the people. Benito Mussolini, acting for the people. Adolf Hitler, again, acting for and on behalf of the people. Wasn't it Adolf Hitler who nullified the separate powers in Germany and took over and then decided he was going to rule? Wasn't it Mussolini who decided that he was going to rule and disregard Parliament or whomever the hell they had over there checking and balancing him? We're living in interesting times. We're living in dangerous times. The president right now has gone too far, and he wants to rule. The president has succeeded, folks. He has succeeded in living up to his promise of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Because he has stepped over the line. He has stepped over the constitutional line by saying that he is going to rule. He is going to go around Congress. Congress is dysfunctional. Congress is not doing its job. No, my man, Congress is not doing your bidding. And since Congress is not doing your bidding, you are going to nullify Congress. That's what this is all about. President Obama is expanding his use of federal regulations by prodding the financial sector to sell low-interest mortgages to millions of cash-strapped homeowners, independent of how deeply underwater they are. That's a mess. That money has to come from somewhere. This guy doesn't care. He doesn't care that he will bring this country to its knees. We're already halfway there. And he's taking us the rest of the way. That's what I'm talking about. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
You're listening to David Graham, author of Stay Mad on Stay Mad Radio.
Tony Bonuti is the ex-conservative, hosting his show weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wahoo Media Network. join the discussion.
You're not planning on wearing that, are you?
You need the Wahoo wake-up call to keep you up to date. Weekday morning.
Weekday morning.
Starting at 8 a.m. Eastern
on the Wahoo Media Network.
We've made too many compromises already. Too many retreats. We invade our space, and we fall back. We assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
Hey, who's there?
Join Ralph Lanier Fridays from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a fast-paced sports talk show with scores, stats, and opinions about almost anything.
Almost anything.
Thanks for listening to the Wahoo Media Network.
Time travel. All you want is to slap a hippie. But all you get is multiple Kowalski.
Rapid Fire Show.
Rapid Fire Show.
Airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Lee and Sarge are guys who believe in God and guns.
God and guns.
And they take their politics straight up.
Straight up.
Constitutional.
Constitutional.
No ice.
No ice.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Barack Obama has sought to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Now, a lot of you know I have no love for the man, none whatsoever. None. None, mind you. So let's look at some of the things he's looking to fundamentally transform and change for this once great country, which is great no longer. How ironic is it? Think of the irony every single day. I tell you that right now. The irony. The first black president of the United States. All of you people out there, let me tell you something. Black folks are less than 12%, or perhaps just 12% of the total population of the United States. Barack Obama could not get elected with just the black vote. Had to be a whole bunch of Hispanics and a whole bunch of white folks. You white folks let your white guilt about slavery and the black man's history get in the way of your reason, and you elected an idiot, a socialist, a Marxist, a communist, what have you. And now he is paying you back for your white guilt or your whatever guilt you may have felt, you were duped, you were bamboozled, you were led astray, and you let this clown have power, and now he's going to stick it where the sun don't shine and pretty much destroy your country. The words never again apply when we think of the Holocaust. And I don't take what I'm about to say lightly. Never again. Never again. Once this idiot is gone from office, once we finally send his ass packing back to Chicago or Hawaii or wherever the hell he hails from, never again. We can stop this. First up on his list of executive orders, he signed an executive directive expanding the power of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the folks who got us into this housing mess, the government-sponsored twins responsible for kicking off the Great Recession. He expanded their powers. Later in the week, he announced measures to change the terms of paying off student loan debt. He decided that. Not the banks. Not the banks. Now I've got East Coast in the house saying, Dr. Jones, my way of life hasn't changed since he became president. No, you know what? Mine hasn't either. Not yet. But here's the thing, East Coast. We're like the frogs in the pot. You and me, East Coast. You and me in 2020 and Blog Talk King and Alexander Solo and Tesla. We're all like the frogs in the pot. The pot of water that Obama put us in, the water is cold. But the heat is turning up. And just like the frogs in the pot of water, when the heat starts to rise, the frog doesn't know he's about to check out. But once the heat is turned up and the water starts to boil, you got a damn frog that's pretty much belly up. He's done. And that's me and you, East Coast. The heat is being turned up on us, man. Or woman. All of you. The heat is being turned up. Our lives have not changed. Not yet. Who's going to pay for all of this, all this signing this guy's putting out there? The rich folks? What happens when the rich don't have any more money to pay? The president has the authority to take actions like this. And the ones he's taken on No Child Left Behind, on payments to businesses doing work with the federal government, well, that's just part of the plan. What we have to wonder is who is paying for this? Where's the money coming from? The federal government doesn't produce anything. They don't make any money. Yeah, they print it. But once you start printing more money than it's actually worth, then the money isn't worth anything. So they can't do that. All they can do is tax. But what happens when the producers stop producing and there isn't enough money to tax? Who's going to pay for all this? It's not. Ruling by executive order. You know, the president of the United States has the authority under the Constitution to exercise executive powers. But I have not, in my 49 years on this planet, and my 30-some-odd years of following politics, ever known a president to circumvent Congress so brazenly. The president has stepped his toe over the line, and he has now decided it's time to rule. And you know what? Here's the thing. He hinted at it many times.
Oh, I'd really like to go around Congress. I'd like to go around Congress, but you know we got a constitution we got to deal with. You know, I really.
How many times has he said that? Think about it. How many times has that clown said that he would like to go around Congress? You think he was just talking? It was strategic language. He was testing the waters of the public. If enough of us had said, You just try going around Congress. We'll come out of there and we'll take your ass out of the White House and toss your ass onto the sidewalk. Secret Service be damned. You try going around Congress. Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything. It wasn't even on the news much. The only people who were reporting it was Fox News. Now the president's going around saying he would love nothing better than to go around Congress. Just putting it out there. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. That's what he says. He's from Chicago. And I told you all about our Chicago sayings. And one of our Chicago sayings is this. When we don't want to be on the record, when we don't want somebody, when we want to be taken seriously, when we want to put it out there, but we don't want credit for putting it out there, we say, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. And what the president did when he went out and said, oh, I'd like nothing more than to go around Congress and enact legislation, but we can't do that because we have a constitution. He was behaving the Chicago way. I'm not saying that I want to go around Congress. I'm just saying. And now he pulled the trigger. What you going to do when the president of the United States decides that he's going to rule by executive order and tell you you can no longer drive a car with a combustible engine, that you now have to drive for the sake of the country, for the sake of Americans, for the sake of all mankind, that you are no longer allowed to drive a vehicle with a combustible engine. You either have to drive a hybrid or an electric vehicle. He has ruled. And then his big ass wife, who's getting bigger every single day, her ass is expanding like I've never seen. What happens when her big ass gets him up in the residence area and gets his ass in the sack and says, honey, I think the people are consuming too much salt and that they should eat more veggies?
Well, I guess so, Michelle. I'm going to go ahead tomorrow and rule and sign an executive order that the people can no longer eat food with salt in it.
Now, I'm demonstrating absurdity by being absurd, like my man Rush Limbaugh does all the time. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. When the president of the United States decides that he's going to rule, that he doesn't take it far. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. We have a series of checks and balances in this country, and one of them is the United States Congress. And when the president of the United States says that he is going to go around Congress, we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant. East Coast says, C. Jones, you ought to be ashamed. I am ashamed. I am ashamed, East Coast. I'm ashamed that we have a president of the United States who happens to be somewhat of a black man, pretty much destroying the country. Pretty much becoming a dictator. Why couldn't the dictator be a white guy? Or an Hispanic? Or an Asian? A black man. The first black president of the United States in the history of this world, which I don't give a damn about, actually. Let me just go ahead and keep it real right here and now. I don't give a damn if he's black. It makes no difference to me. It doesn't enhance my life at all, the fact that he's black. There are many black people out there who say, well, oh, I'm so proud that we have a black man in office, that we have the first black. I don't give a damn about that. What does that do for me? Besides that clown picking my pocket. The fact that he's black means that doesn't mean a damn, means less to me than the fact that my dog is black. I don't give a damn. But what I do care about is if he's a black man, which he is not, he's pretty much destroying the country. A lot of folks think he's a black man, and they care about that. Okay, but he's pretty much destroying the country and ruling by decree. That's the part I'm concerned about. The words never again should come into play. Never again will we elect a big floppy-eared, skinny little wannabe black man who has a God complex, who wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America into something unrecognizable. Dude has got to go. First thing next November, put his ass on a plane and send him packing with his ugly, hideous wife and his ugly, processed-haired children. Come on, a straightening comb, anybody? Can we get a curling iron anywhere? My goodness. Michelle is getting bigger by the day, chowing down French fries, steaks, ribs. They sure do love themselves some ribs, don't they? Chowing down. all the time telling me and you that we should eat more sensibly, that we should eat more celery and arugula, whatever the hell that is. We don't have a president of the United States, folks. We have a ruler. And here's what we're going to do. We are going to overthrow our ruler November of next year. His poll numbers are dropping steadily. Let's send him packing. And let's just chalk this up to white guilt. Let's chalk it all up to affirmative action and white guilt. We elected a black man, well, because we were feeling bad, because blacks have been for 400 years treated badly, brought into slavery, brought to this country against our will, you know, all sorts of bad things. So, well, competence be damned. Like that idiot Tom Joyner said less than 2 weeks ago, hey, forget about the record. He actually said out loud, disregard the facts. We must re-elect Barack Obama because he's black. He said it. His words were, forget about the facts. We need to re-elect Barack Hussein Obama. All you black folks need to get out there and re-elect Barack Hussein Obama simply because he's black. He said it. And black people are feeling the love. But the thing is, black folks don't put presidents in office. You white folks do. You Hispanics, you Asians, you put him in office. And he's screwing you. Without any grease. He's not using the Vaseline. And you're loving it. A lot of you all are loving it.
Yeah, the rich got to pay their fair share. At a certain point, you know, I think you've made enough money. I'll decide how much money you get to keep.
These are his exact words. These are his exact words. He is to decide how much money I get to keep? I don't think so, Negro. You get to decide how much money I'm allowed to make and how much I'm allowed to keep? Dude, you got to be kidding me. Dude, you have got to go. And I'm serious right about now. You have got to go, and I don't give a damn if I have to clear my desk of all my jobs. I don't care if I have to put my company in somebody else's hands. I'm going to spend every damn day right up until November campaigning to get you out of office. I'll pay off my girlfriend if I have to, because I know she loves Obama. I'll pay off my cousins, my nieces, my nephews, my aunts, my uncles. Here's $50. Go into that polling booth and vote for anybody except Barack Hussein Obama. He's got to go. He has got to go. Dude is getting too big for his britches. And I mean that. America is in deep trouble, you all. America is in deep trouble. Do not let this go. Do not let this stand. When the president says he's going to find ways to go around Congress, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. When dude says he's going to figure out ways to go around Congress, that's just the start. If he gets away with it, if we don't have constitutional challenges against him going around Congress, there needs to be challenges. Congress, Boehner, anybody, somebody needs to challenge every single thing he puts forth, everything he signs in the executive order with the Supreme Court. Tie that stuff up. Tie it up until he's out of office. Because if it's not, He's just going to go further and further and further. And the next thing you know, our freedoms are pretty much done. Now, those of you, you all were complaining about George Bush and this National Security Act going into people's bank accounts and listening in on folks' phones in the name of national security, homeland security. You haven't seen anything yet until this idiot we have in the White House decides that he's gotten away with all this executive action. He's going to put a cap on how much money you and I can make, a cap on how far we can drive our cars, whether we can drive them at all. Now, we've got those morons, OWS in D.C., Oakland, Chicago, New York City, all over the country. But we're going to have our say. We're going to have our say next November. Dude is going to be gone. Gone. Now, I want to thank all of you for listening tonight. 2020, Alex Solo, Blog Talk King, East Coast. Thank you for being here. All my guests, John Galt, Marine Times, Ned King, Rebecca, Republican Marine, Tesla, The Binary Prince. Thank you all for being here tonight. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Obama, dude, you got to go. You big-eared bastard. You got to get the hell out of here. Good night, folks. God bless America. Woo! I